Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We have Dr. Steve Wellum with us again after a brief interruption. Steve, welcome back.
Great to be back, Fred, and great to talk to you today.
Yeah, we're working our way through your Systematic Theology, Volume 1, and we have discussed God's revelation in nature, natural revelation. We have discussed special revelation. We've identified scripture as special revelation. We have identified it as God's word written. So we've discussed the doctrine of inspiration. We have discussed the various entailments of inspiration, its trustworthiness, its authority, infallibility, and so on. And so scripture, we've said, is unique. It is the norming norm. Well, that brings us now to the next logical question. This is, which books are we talking about? So talk to us about canon. Tell us what the word means and how it's used in theological discussion. You might want to talk here about canon one, canon two, as you discuss in your book.
Yeah, so canon obviously is crucial. It's bound up with the doctrine of scripture. It's one thing to say that God has given us his authoritative word, inspired scripture. The automatic question, as you've alluded to here, is, well, how do we recognize which books are authoritative? God has not inspired every single book that's ever been written, right? It's only certain books. So it's crucial that as scripture functions as our authority, we have to know which books are the inspired authoritative word of God. Where has God spoken through these human authors? And we then have to be able to determine what those books are. And that's what canon is really getting at. Canon, just an old term that eventually was a borrowed word that came from measuring stick, reed. The canon is functions in terms of theology as which books are inspired scripture, and then the criteria by which the Old Testament people of God and the church recognized what God had given as scripture. And we, I distinguish, I think it was Stephen Dempster who came up with this, or can't remember exactly who, but canon one and canon two. Canon one is a scripture that is already functioning in Old Testament Israel and the New Testament people of God as authoritative. They are reading the Pentateuch. They have the prophets. We have the Gospels. They're functioning as authoritative scripture, recognized as the word of God. That's canon one. And then there is in history at some time where the Jewish people and then the church then draw up a list of here are the actual books that are the inspired word of God. And that's sort of the notion of canon two. So we distinguish how scripture is already functioning as authoritative. And that goes on all the way from the very beginning. When Moses gives the Torah, it's functioning as authoritative for Israel. Yet, as the canon, as books are then added, and as the Old Testament people in the church then say, all right, what books are they? Well, it's the first five books of Moses, the Torah. It's then Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on. It's the prophets, the writings, it's the Gospels, it's the Pauline letters. That's now the list that gets drawn up. And we can then look at history and go back and say, well, when did the Jewish people draw up a list? When did that happen? When did the church come to draw up a list and recognize the scriptures, these specific scriptures, to be the word of God, and then said that other books are not the inspired word of God? So that's some issues of canon. And canon is absolutely crucial. You can't have a doctrine of scripture without saying which books are the inspired word of God over against other books that are not.
And we might want to clarify that this is canon with one N in the middle, not two. This is not the canon that goes boom. This is a rule, a standard. So which are the standard books that norm our norms and so on? All right, you emphasize that Christians from the beginning have recognized the biblical books as authoritative and canonical, but you also want to emphasize that it's not our recognition of these books that gives them their authority. So why don't you sort that out for us and tell us
why? This is a discussion that has gone on in the history of the church, particularly. I mean, there's other traditions, but particularly you see it in debates in the Reformation, the Roman Catholic versus Protestant, and it's really a distinction sometimes between the recognition of the books and their authority, which comes first, right? And so there's some sense of a The theology of the books is the authority of the books. And then we then say, you know, how do the people of God come to recognize it? But is it the community, right? Is it Israel and the church that in giving us the books and saying, here's the canon, do they in some sense confer authority upon those books and say, here's the list. These books then have authority. We, in some sense, give those books the authority, or, and that's more of the sort of Roman Catholic, the Roman Catholic view, which ties it to their whole understanding of the people of God, particularly the church, as the continuing incarnation of Christ through the apostolic office, through apostolic succession, through the magisterium. They have the ongoing authority of Christ to confer authority, to recognize books, to give them authority, and ultimately with by tradition to provide interpretations that are authoritative. The Catholics want to see today that there's only one source of revelation, but it's still split in terms of scripture and tradition, where before it was two sources of revelation. But there's a sense in which the church, as the continuing incarnation of Christ, as through its magisterium in giving us the books of scripture, the canon of scripture, in some sense places authority on them. And without those books, right, the church could still exist. It still doesn't necessarily need those books. Even though we have those books, it has authority in itself as the church. Now, the reformers, I mean, there's some truth in all these things, but the reformers said, no. It's scripture comes to us from God. God is the authority. He is the one that speaks to us through human authors. It's the word of God, the spoken word of God, that creates the people of God. Right? So that there's always his authority that is prior to our authority. We as the church recognize what God has already said. And so there's the sense in which the authority is given by God, who gives us an inspired word. The word is self-attesting. It bears witness to God himself. And then the people of God, by the Spirit of God, then simply recognize what is actually authoritative. Right? I have a quote by J.I. Packer where he mentions here is that God's word is always over the church. It's always God's word that creates the church. And he says the church no more gave us the New Testament canon than Sir Isaac Newton gave us the force of gravity. God gave us gravity. Newton did not create gravity, but he recognized it. And so there's the difference there, where scripture comes to us from God. He is the authority. We then, as the people of God, are led by God himself to recognize his authoritative word, right? And so that's some of the difference that still takes place between Catholics and Protestants. And there are a number of Protestants, evangelicals, or at least they identify broadly with evangelicalism, that are moving more in this Catholic direction. I read, I didn't mention him in this book, because I'd read it after putting the chapter together. Brad East, who teaches in Abilene, Texas, is very, very strong on the relationship of scripture and church, and the church in some sense gives us scripture, and the church confers authority upon it, and this mutual relation, moving much more in a kind of Catholic notion. Yes, obviously, God works through the human authors to give us scripture. They're part of Israel. They're part of the church. Yet it's his authority, which is first. It's his authority, which creates the people of God. And it's us who recognize that authority.
Let's pursue that a little bit further with the contemporary discussion, because there are those who argue that the church existed prior to the scriptures and therefore scripture is dependent on it. Yeah. Did the church exist prior?
Well, if we're you know, speaking of the church, I mean, we'd have to speak of, you know, both Old Testament and Israel church. But if we leave it to the church, for instance, just in terms of the New Testament, New right. Covenant people of God, right? I mean, obviously they did not exist prior to the scriptures, right? They had the Old Testament, right? Yeah. So think of Jesus and the apostles. Jesus himself goes back to the Old Testament scriptures. It's those scriptures that first created Israel. It's God who, through his covenantal promises, through his initiative, both all the way from Adam to Noah to Abraham to then establishing the nation of Israel, Moses, the giving of then written scripture in terms of the Pentateuch establishes and brings about the people of God. And then you think of the church. The church is built on the Old Testament. So even though the New Testament is being written post resurrection, ascension, Pentecost by the apostles themselves have scripture, right? They are dependent upon. That's why they are always, as they go into the synagogue or preach in the churches, right? They are going back to the scriptures. They are showing from the scriptures that Christ is the fulfillment of that. And of course, they then add to those scriptures the New Testament, right? And so that becomes the new covenant documents. But in the Old Testament, you have the first documents that are given, the Old Covenant documents are that of Moses. And then you have further revelation that's then further scripture that's added to that, that then through the progress of revelation, give us God giving his word and revealing himself to us. So it's just false to say that the church somehow existed independent of the scriptures. Andy Stanley at a popular level, well, you know, the New Testament didn't come in till later. All we needed was the resurrection and so on. Well, the whole preaching of the gospel, Jesus himself understands himself in light of the Old Testament. The apostles are understanding who Jesus is and the gospel is in light of the Old Testament. When Paul says in Timothy, all scripture is God breathed, he's referring to the Old Testament, right? So the church is created by the prophets, right? The Old Testament and the apostles, and the apostles are building off of the Old Testament, and they also then are writing scripture that is equal to, as inspired, as authoritative as the Old Testament prophets.
Okay, so it's not the church that gives the scriptures its authority. It's the church, it's the scriptures that bring the church into existence. Why don't we park here for just a minute and explain why that's such an important question?
Well, it's an important question because it gives priority, I think, to God himself. He's the one who is the source and standard of truth. He's the one who is creator. He is Lord. He is the one who redeems us. That the whole notion of sola scriptura, right? Scripture is our final authority because it is God-given. There's not another word that we then put alongside it. It always goes back to what has God said. And so the church is built upon the authority of God, God and his word, God and his spoken word. So getting the priority right is very, very important. Others will say, well, we're still using scripture, but it gives a place to humans and creatures, a place of authority that should be reserved for God alone. God speaks his word, gives us his word through human authors, but it's his word. And it goes back to his authority, and that's why it's self-attesting. That's why what he says is final and authoritative, sufficient, clear, and so on.
Very good. All right, next I want to get into the question of the formation of the Old Testament canon, the formation of the New Testament canon, how Israel recognized the Old Testament canon, the church recognized the New Testament canon, and I think it's going to take us further than we can go in this interview. So I'm going to call it here, and then we'll come back, and next time we'll pick that up for the rest of the chapter. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Look forward to it. Yep, no problem.
Right.